The RPG After Years is part of the We Can Make This Work Probably Network. Find out more at probablywork.com.
Hi, I'm Bill, and I absolutely love old video games, but I didn't have anyone to play with. So I decided to start the Super Switch Club.
That's right.
A podcast dedicated to discussing and reliving the nostalgia of retro video games that are also on the Nintendo Online Virtual Library.
So much, there's just so much bad design in this game, and it's not like Dark Souls or Elden Ring or something where it's like, yeah, we're intentionally crafting a hard, challenging game. This is just like bullshit difficulty. Absolute bullshit.
Hey everybody, what's up?
And we are back with the Super Switch Club segment for Echo the Dolphin.
Level 7 through 12 of Echo the Dolphin.
Here to talk about Echo the Annoying Dolphin once again.
And we're here for Echo the Dolphin Part 2.
Because people hate us.
So first off, this section is not as hard as the last section.
This game is so frustrating. Oh my god.
I kind of flew through this a lot quicker. You know, it has its problems. There are crabs.
I just want to say that this game is definitely getting harder, but overall I didn't have as much of a struggle with it as I did levels 1 through 6. I think I like know what to expect now.
I know old games can be like this, but wow.
So to recap the first part of the game, caves bad and annoying, controls annoying, finding dolphins annoying, game bad.
Man, that first section of levels really took it out of me. I hope today's not going to be as bad as it was then.
I'm used to it at this point, you know?
Now, this is great.
What fresh hell is this?
And holy shit, I'm annoyed already.
I'm immediately surrounded by tiger sharks.
Hooray, more sharks!
So I believe this is a level where as soon as you spawn, you're just like in the middle of a swarm of tiger sharks. And I was just like, why do you start off in the middle of a swarm of sharks? Like, that's just a dick move by the developers.
It's so dumb.
Oh, yeah. And these awful fucking underwater ice monster enemies, they do get iframes after you do damage to them, which is usually enough time for them to swarm at you.
Hello everybody and welcome back to the RPG Years, your one-stop shop for all things RPGs when I am actually well enough to record. Yes, hello everybody, and welcome back to the RPG Years, your favourite podcast where Bill's quite sick quite a lot. Yes. I don't want to make excuses for myself, because I'm pretty sure the last episode I did, I complained about the fact that I'd been sick just before. But I've actually had a really, I don't want this to be a hugely negative thing. So anyway, this is going to be like a... this week's going to be a shortish kind of catch-up episode. I'm going to have got a few little announcements to make and things. So, yeah, I'm just going to get through these little bits. And then next week's episode will be the Chrono Cross review, finale, featuring your favourite former co-host, Scott, the Scott Scottington. Yes, that's Scott's full name, in case anyone wondered. His parents really hated him. So what's been going on with me? So I've been, not just me being sick, but my family, and this isn't like, you know, we've been terribly ill with some sort of incurable disease type thing. No. We just had shitty colds, you know. It's probably a good chance I've had COVID maybe once, maybe twice in the last couple of weeks. Like, it hasn't affected me badly. Like, I'm pretty sure the one I got just after Christmas was COVID. You know, but I was just like, I was already hunkered up at home. I didn't bother going out, so I didn't bother doing a test. But it sounds terrible. I know. I'm sorry, everyone out there. I'm sorry. I've become lazy. Everyone's vaccinated. Please. But yeah, and then also because the Christmas period is just so busy, that just took extra time away. And it was just like, I was sick, and then I got better, but then my wife got sick with a cold. And then I think I probably had the flu at some point as well, but I've had my flu jabs, so it just feels like a really bad cold when you get the flu and you've had the flu jab. Like, and this isn't me shitting around, you know. When people say, "Oh, I've got the flu," you know, and I don't mean to doubt you. I don't want to doubt you and be horrible, but you haven't, all right? I had the flu when I think I was 22 or 23, and it was at Christmas as well. And it was the worst experience of my life, having the flu. I was like bedbound, like I couldn't move. My dad would literally, like, I'm a 22-year-old man as well. My dad had to carry me downstairs occasionally just to give me a bit of change of scenery and throw me on the sofa. And I was just, I couldn't eat. I couldn't drink. I lost 2 stone in weight. 2 stone in weight in 2 weeks. It was horrific, and like I had to like rebuild my stomach size, which I know that may sound a bit strange, but I had to, like, my stomach had basically shrunk from where I'd been eating so little, so I had to gradually like build up by eating slowly bigger and bigger meals. I remember Christmas Day, my nan, God rest her soul, love you, Ed. She made me a Christmas dinner where literally I had like a little side plate, and there was one Brussels sprout, there was one pigs in blanket, there was a little sliver of turkey, you know, some roast potatoes, a Yorkshire pudding, which is like my favourite thing in the world. I love Yorkshire puddings. And I could barely eat any of it. It was just like this tiny little, really depressing, like Tiny Tim Christmas dinner plate. I could barely eat the fucking thing. Excuse my French. And yeah, so, you know, I've had the flu. Flu's bad. Ever since I was 22, 23, I've got my flu jab in like October, November. So I know I'm protected and I'm not getting that shit. Well, I know you will still get the flu, but because you've had the jab, your body's better at fighting it, blah, 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 all that sort of stuff. Anyway, so yeah, it's just been on and off. So either I was sick, the wife was sick, the kids were sick. And when the wife and kids are sick, you know, that means that takes, I have to pick up the slack in the household, you know what I mean? Being a good old modern father and keep everyone happy as Larry as I possibly can. So yeah, it's just been a real up and down time. But I can confirm the kids had a brilliant Christmas. We did loads of shit. Disney on Ice, that was fun. and just had a really good time. But unfortunately, my podcasting time was stripped away from me. I was whipped. I can't say what I was about to say because that is awful. But yes, imagine me being flogged in the streets. Now, I'm sure lots of you do want me to be flogged. But one thing this has highlighted to me the most is the fact that I really, really need a co-host. Okay? So 2024 is going to be the search for a co-host. Now, I've already got someone, and that someone, you know who you are. I've got someone lined up who I think would be a really, really good co-host for this show. And, you know, they play all the games. They give me shit for not playing the games, which is exactly what I need. You know, I'm very sorry, but I may not have finished Disco Elysium yet. So, that will be coming. Don't worry, it will be coming, I've got time, I'm well behind on stuff, but it's not like I can suddenly bash out an episode a week, people, is it? So, you know, I've got time to get Disco Elysium under my belt as well. So, on that note, yeah, so I am currently schmoozing someone to become my co-host. Hopefully they take the bait and I will have someone to bounce off during these episodes, which would be amazing. So, it'd be so good to have someone to talk to. All by myself. Don't wanna be all by myself. Anyway. Celine, you ain't got nothing on me, love. It's not Brett, by the way. I suddenly thought, oh, Celine's Canadian. Everyone's going to think it's going to be Brett from Skeleton House. I would love it to be Brett. But, you know, I think he's very busy with other things. But I will still be getting Brett on for the episodes that I'm forcing him to play with me. Unlucky Brett, you can't escape me yet. But yes, anyways, hopefully, we will have someone else in here to help me out with the show. You know, we're going to be very list-centric and RPG Club-centric. So, speaking of the RPG Club, Disco Elysium has finished, and we should really be starting the next club now, but I'm going to delay that probably until the end of the month. So, very sorry, patrons, but I know I've got a lot to catch up on, so I can't really throw myself into another club yet, or even just, like, the prepping for a club and doing all the stuff. So, towards the end of this month, let me have a look at my calendar here. So, yeah, let's look at the 28th of January. We will start nominations for the next RPG Club. So, in case you people are listening for the first time, and this is the first time you've caught an episode, and you're thinking, holy crap, this guy's crazy and flaky, I promise you, it's not always this way. Sometimes it's this way, but not always. But yes, we have a RPG Club. And the RPG Club is basically our lovely, lovely member patrons. They come together and then collectively they brainstorm together and pick a whole bunch of games that we then nominate and vote for. And then Scott gets to execute all the games that haven't been picked in a glorious ceremony on the Discord, which is just amazing. It's the best bit about it, to be honest with you. Some of the games have been questionable, but yes. Yep, so again, you know, if you want to actually nominate a game that you want us to play for the RPG Club, which is essentially a book club for JRPGs. So, you know, we picked Wild Arms out of our very first game, and we split it into different chunks. We had to complete a section each couple of weeks, and then once you had finished that segment, that was it. You recorded your notes, or you posted it in the Discord or on Twitter, whatever you wanted. Just let us know your thoughts on the game and we will talk about it. And it's a big whole community thing, and it's fantastic playing these games together as a community. So again, I'm not going to talk too much about Disco Elysium because I'm well behind on it, but I will catch up. I also can't talk too much about Final Fantasy VI because again, I'm well behind on that. That was kind of a sub club that we put on, as well as another club that we put on, which was Skies of Arcadia. So for now, Skies of Arcadia is officially on pause. Okay, I don't have time for that right now. So I probably didn't have time for it when I started it, but holy fuck, that game is amazing. I really want to get back to it soon. It's completely open if someone wants to nominate it for the RPG Club. Okay, I'm going to put that out there. If you want it to be the next RPG Club game and people to play it, then feel free to vote and nominate for it. Currently, as a bonus spin-off Patreon thing, I've just put it on hold because there is not enough time in the world for that. So, another announcement to make is the end of our $700 Saga Challenge charity drive. So, to recap, Mr. Frost himself, the wonderful Frostinator, the Frosty of Frosty, Frosty's Cold Takes himself, came to me and said, hey, you know, Elon Musk, that blooming mongol of social media and space, he changed Twitter's API, or X, whatever you want to call it, he changed the API, so it broke my charity bot for the Materia Lockdown Challenge. And, you know, I'm not too fussed about it. It's a shame. It is a real shame. You know, if I was really fussed about it, I would rebuilding the bot. But Frost said, let's do something else, shall we? Let's try and get people to play the Seventh Saga. And it's just like, Frost, no one's going to play the Seventh Saga. He nominated many years ago Seventh Saga to be played for the Golden Years list, which we have, which is kind of our other game that we play in the background of this podcast. So we have a list of 500 RPGs from a specific time period. You know, it's like, basically, imagine all the games on the 16-bit consoles all the way up to, like, the Xbox 360 or something like that. I can't remember what it was. We've got 500 games, good, bad, ugly, a lot of them are on there. And he nominated us to play the Seventh Saga sooner than expected because it's known to be a hard-ass game, okay? It's supposed to be hard as hell. that game. And I can confirm, having completed it, that game is hard as hell. It is brutal. Brutal, brutal, brutal game. But it is beatable. I have beaten it. And Frost said, why don't we say, like, between me and Frost, we will pay up to a cap of $700. Basically, if people play the game and get the first rune, we'll donate $10. If people play the game and complete it, we will donate $70. Keeping with the seven theme, you know. Up to a cap of $700. Because it is the seventh saga, so we did the $700 saga. Does that make sense? And yep, we fantastically this year managed to raise... And again, the only people whose pockets are affected by this was mine and Frost, okay? Every person who beat the game meant me and Frost had to donate more money to the Motor Neurone Disease Association, which is a charity very close to my heart, because my mother sadly passed away of motor neurone disease, and it was horrible. Like, it was just diagnosed a year and a half later. That was it. It was just absolutely dreadful. Dreadful experience for me, but the MMDA was amazing. They made my mum's final year the most comfortable it possibly could under the circumstances. They were incredible. So every year I've always tried, you know, through the podcast as well, to get people to play something fun, have a bit of a challenge, something different, and raise money for charity. So this was kind of like a really cool little drive where, again, only me and Frost were going to pay out money. You can donate if you want. There is a link in the show notes below. But yeah, we managed to play the seventh saga. Loads of people joined in. And I can confirm that we raised a total of $680. Yes! Can you believe it? We were $20 short of our target. That would have been two people playing the game for about an hour to get to the first rune. That was all we needed. But I am mega impressed. I didn't think we would get anywhere near our total for this. So I am so impressed and so thankful to everyone who played along in the Discord with this challenge. So we had Realness, we had Aerobi, Disa, Frost, JS, Calderanus, Ben from Dagoon Effect, and Skelly from Skeleton Hylix, and myself, of course. We all beat the game to have $70 each donated. And then the next group of people got at least the first rune. I know several of these people got a couple of runes but weren't able to finish the game. You've got Mike from Mike's Unlimited Let's Plays, Pete from Attack on Fond Fantasy, Colin, our very own Colin, Saga Jeebus, as we like to call him, the master of all Saga and other type games as well. He is just a huge wealth of knowledge. Colin is amazing. Tin Smasher, also amazing. And Jameson, who is also Frost's whipping boy. sorry, Jameson. All managed to get the first rune, giving us a total of $680. I am so proud. So proud of you all. And yep, I will be prepping the review for the seventh saga as we speak, and we will get that out at some point in the near future. Speaking of reviews... Oh yes, I am behind on a few reviews. Now, you may remember when I took... When Scott and Rich announced they were retiring, which was last year, can you believe? Last year. And in January, because when January was when I took over back over the show by myself. All by myself. And, stop singing. Anyway, yes, I took over the show all by myself, and it has driven me insane. But we started with my first RPG club, which was Final Fantasy XII. That review is still in the works. I apologise for it not coming out soon. Our second RPG club was Breath of Fire 3. That review is now prepped and ready. Okay? So, just got to put this out there. Scott, if you're listening, I need you for my Breath of Fire 3 review. And Kazlo, I need you for my Breath of Fire 3 review. Okay? Kazlo nominated the game. He's got some... He needs to answer some fucking questions. So, yep, I'm going to be arranging with Scott and Kaz to do the final, the Breath of Fire 3 review, and then we can pump out our other reviews that we've got in the works. But I need to finish those games first. So, you know, Final Fantasy VI, the other one, Disco Elysium, and then Seventh Saga. So, lots of things to do. You know, that's why I could do with a co-host, whoever you may be. Anyway, My final announcement for today, before I let you all get on with your merry, merry way, and I can get back to editing my lovely Chrono Cross review with Scotticus, is to let you know about our next Golden Years game. So again, I've already explained the Golden Years is a huge list. Link is in the description of the show notes. 500 odd games from across the world and across a console generation that we consider to be the golden years of RPGs. And our next game, because we've now finished the 7th saga, is going to be The Legend of Dragoon. Oh yes, people, this is supposed... I've never played it. But this is supposedly a freaking classic, okay? So, if you want to play along, we have split this up RPG club style, okay? So we are splitting this into a bi-weekly, part episodic, mother, whatever you want to call it. I've completely lost my train of thought. Legend of Dragoon playthrough for the podcast. Now, this game is a chunky, chunky monkey. It's about 60 hours or some crap on how long to beat. So this is going to take a while, okay? Now, again, I'm very much known for procrastinating on games and not doing a good job of keeping up with things. So this is one of the reasons why we've split this up, to try and help ourselves, help me help you actually play and beat this game. So I can confirm for everyone sticking by, the Legend of Dragoon Golden Years playthrough will kick off on the 14th of January. So stick that in your diaries. Part one will be to arrive in Hoax, I think, H-O-A-X, by January 28th, okay? This game is available on PSN in North America, if you have it available to you. And you can create a North American PSN account if you're not in North America as a way of getting hold of it. And, you know, you can also buy the game legally. It's a PS1 game, and I think it's probably worth about $200 or £200 to get it secondhand. You know, it's very, very expensive. So, you know, get the game any way that you feel comfortable with. Not wink, wink. But yes, part one will be arriving Hoax, and we want to do that between January 14th and January 28th. And again, January 28th will be when I'll be kicking off the RPG club nominations for the next game. So they're going to tie in together. But I'm going to make sure that when we start the next RPG club, it's alternative weeks with Legend of Dragoon, so we can switch between, okay? 1 week for one week for the other. Hopefully that's how it works. So yeah, this is actually, we've actually split this into 10 parts, okay? It's crazy. So part two is going to be the stop before entering Helena prison. And then part three, meet Princess Emile. Part four, complete Phantom Ship. Part five, Miranda joins the party, whoever Miranda is. Part six, stop before entering Kashua Glacier. Part seven, arrive in Eulara. Part 8, reconnect the teleporter to Mayfield after Court of Zembeatles. Part 9, finish the Divine Tree. And part 10, finish the game by June 2nd. Woo! I can hear Frost screaming from America. Why is it taking so long? 10 parts is ridiculous. But yeah, we split it into 10 parts. But yeah, you know, get your pointy sticks out, people. Get your jumping boots on. We're going to be playing Legend of Dragoon, the highly rated, highly critically acclaimed PS1 RPG. And we're going to play it together. And I, for one, cannot wait. I've got it on my Vita. And I'm so excited to play it. So excited. I think for me, I love the PS1 RPGs. I think that is my, that's my niche, you know. You know, and people will be like, oh, what about the SNES? You got to remember, people, all those good NES RPGs never came out over here. So I don't know what the point of having an NES in the UK was, you know. You played Mario Kart on it and some shitty Mario games. But I'm going to get some hate for that. I never liked the Mario games on the SNES. I thought they were rubbish. I had an NES. NES Mario games were great. But yeah, I'm going to get some right old stick for that. So yeah, that's it, people. Okay, that's my updates. We finished the 7th saga and we raised a ton of money for the Motor Neurone Disease Association, and I cannot be prouder of this community for helping us do that. Secondly, we are going to be starting Legend of Dragoon, and then thirdly, the next RPG club will be coming up down the line. Okay. And then other than that, it's just a ton of catch up for me. And I've got to try and convince this co-host that I'm trying to schmooze that this is definitely what he wants to do with the rest of his life. or her life. No clues there. But yes. All right then, everybody. I shall see you next week. I will be with Scott. We recorded this like 3 or 4 weeks ago. Again, I've been very, very sick. I haven't been able to put it together. For the Chrono Cross review. And yes, Chrono Cross. What a head fuck of a game that was. Love you all. I'll see you all next time on the RPG Years. Bye.
This has been a presentation
of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
at Probably Work for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.